We're going to be looking at three different verses in Psalm 119. Now, this is a long psalm, so I'm not going to read the whole psalm. But we're going to look at just three different verses. They're not even verses that are close to each other, but they all are drawn together in a theme that we want to talk about here for a few minutes tonight. Amen. Praise God. The first one is Psalm 119:25. The second one is Psalm 119:107. And the third one is Psalm 119:154. So while you're searching around there, I'm going to just kind of give you a little background as to what is on my mind, on my heart here tonight for this service. Amen. There's a scripture in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. That really describes one attribute of our Lord. And I'll read this for you. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Amen. God breathed the breath of life into that form that was formed out of the dust of the earth. And man became a living soul. That was the first Adam. The last Adam was Jesus himself. Amen. And the Bible says that the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Amen. So Christ is able to impart life. And I think that the church world needs life, and I think that First Pentecostal Church needs life. The preacher needs life. We all need life. Amen. Every one of us. And from that passage of Scripture, I just would conclude that getting closer to the Lord and deepening your relationship with Jesus Christ is going to cause you to come to life. Because the last Adam is a quickening spirit. Amen. Jesus himself, a quickening spirit. John 1 and 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the embodiment of life, but he does not just contain life, he imparts life. This is who he is. He gives to us the life. He is a quickening spirit. Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So the person that comes to the knowledge, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you once were lost, but once you come to the Lord and get saved, one of the things that happens in your life, along with the forgiveness of sin and justification and all these wonderful things that takes place as a part of you becoming a child of God, he also quickens you. He also causes you to no longer be dead, but to come alive. Spiritually speaking, you come alive. You have he quickened. Jesus is a quickening spirit. He is able to give life and to revitalize your spiritual life and can give spiritual life to a weary soul, to people that are in need, like you and me. Amen. We need the Lord himself to visit among us in our church. We need Jesus to visit among us and to quicken us, to bring us to life, spiritually speaking, to literally bring us alive, make us alive. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." That same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the tomb is the same Spirit that can quicken you, quicken me to life, bring you to life, and cause us to once again to have a renewed zeal, a renewed vision, a renewed desire for the things of God, a hunger, and a new life, a new interest that can be stirred up in the hearts of people. And it only comes, and not, it doesn't come by by some man-made way of trying to pep everybody up and encourage them. What is needed is a visitation from God. What is needed is Christ Himself to come and to visit us by His Holy Spirit to work among us and bring us to life. Amen. We are to be known as believers. We ought to be known as people who are spiritually alive. Amen. That there are things that are happening in us. And God is speaking to us. Let me just ask you tonight, just personally, you can evaluate in your own heart, your own mind, how long has it been since you really have sensed the presence of God in your life? How long has it been since God has spoken to you by His Word? How long has it been since you have sensed that God was at work by His Spirit and you just felt the strength and the power and the life of God stirring your heart up to be more like Him? How long has it been? Does it take very long for you to lose your desire, lose your interest, and for the spiritual life to go out of you? But Jesus is that last Adam has been made a quickening spirit. And as we draw closer to God and make an effort to draw nearer to the Lord, then we're going to be quickened. Amen. Made alive. Come to life. Praise the Lord. And it's so needed. Really, it is. We're in the last days. And no doubt time is growing so short. And this is no time to become cold. No time to become backslidden in heart. No time to lose our zeal for the things of God. Our burden for the things of God. Lord, help us. Every one of us. I'm including myself in this tonight. So this is not just a message as an indictment against the congregation. It's all of us. Amen. All of us. We need this quickening of the Spirit. We need to be made alive. Once again, do you remember how it was at some other times of your spiritual experience that you were just walking in the presence of God, walking in His blessing and favor, and you knew that God was at work in your life? How long has it been since you have experienced that? Apparently, for David, the psalmist in 119, apparently he had times and seasons when he recognized that he needed this quickening of God in his life. He recognized it, that he needed the Lord to work in him and to bring him spiritually to life. Let's look at verse 25 of 119. 119 verse 25 is the first verse. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." That's a plea. That's a cry. He says, "I need to have this quickening of the Spirit of God, this spiritual quickening in my life." Then he gives the indication as to what's going on and why that he needs it. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust." You'll find that the dust, many places in the Scripture, is just a picture of this old world, the things of this world, the carnal nature, earthiness, the things of this world. Instead of being heavenly minded, we just get so attached to this world. I tell you what dust will do to you. I've had a little experience with dust this week. You know what you can do? You can clean up dust. Little fine little particles of dust. You can clean the desk. You can clean the table. You can clean the books. You can clean everything. You can wipe it all down. You think you're doing really good. And then you look around after it's all dried, and there's another film of dust there. You got to work at it. You got to go back and you got to try it again. You have to stay at it. And I noticed today when I was back there in the office, I noticed that I could see just a little slight film of dust again. I don't know how long it's going to be there, but it's not going to let go very quickly. You just have to stay at it. And it's been in my throat. And, you know, it's just been that old dust of this world. Of this world. Earthiness of this world. You see, we have an attraction for the things of this world. And if we're not careful, it'll get such a hold in our life. And that's apparently what the psalmist is talking about here when he says that my soul cleaveth unto the dust. He was struggling with the battle of the flesh and the spirit. The desire for fleshly things was winning out over his desire for spiritual things. And as a result of that, he said, Lord, I need you to come and to quicken me. I need you to come and breathe life into me, because this is getting a hold of my life. It's dragging me down. It's hindering me from my spiritual growth and blessing. That's what this world will do to you. That's what it'll do to anyone if you allow the world to just get a grip on your life and on your thinking and on your lifestyle and on your decisions. You'll become worldly minded and involved in worldly activities, and you'll be of this old world before you know it. The attraction is so strong, and the pull is so strong for us to get involved and to love the world and the things of this world. Apparently the psalmist realized that he was being drugged down by all of this circumstance in his life. It was clinging to him, and he was not able to really do what he needed to do. And that's why he cried out this prayer in verse 25. Quicken me according to thy word. Lord, this dust has got a hold of me. This old world has got a hold of me. And I'm too weighted down with the cares of this life. And I'm so involved in things that don't really matter. I've allowed the world to get such a grip on me. Lord, would you quicken me? Would you quicken me? By your Holy Spirit, quicken me. Amen. Pray that kind of a prayer. Ask the Lord to bring you up out of all of the connections and the attachment that you have with this world. Amen. We live in the world. Obviously, we're not to be of the world, but we are in the world. And so if you're not careful, it will begin to affect you. You spend enough time in the world and you'll just be affected by it. Dust clings to you. Yes, it does. It clings to you. Cleaned up the front office, cleaned up my office, got it all clean two or three times, walked out the door and looked down at my shoes. Dust. I worked them over. I cleaned them and brushed them and tried to get it all off, but it took some effort. The dust will cling to you. This old world, before you know it, you're thinking like the world. Before you know it, you're influenced by the philosophy of this world, and you need a quickening. Amen. You need a revival. You need God to stir your heart and to do a work in you to cause you to love the things of God, the things that are higher and nobler. Get your sights set upon them instead of these things that are low, the dusty things of this earth. Amen. Amen. The psalmist said, I need a quickening because the dust is clinging to me. It's clinging to me. And I need to break out of that. First Pentecostal Church. You say, oh, we're not worldly. We're not worldly people. And we can pat ourselves on the back because we think we do certain things right and we're right in step with what we think is right. If we're not careful, our thinking, our philosophy, we are deceived and we're walking right in the ways of the world, thinking like the world. We're not to do that, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So if you draw nigh to the Lord, if you get in His Word, He says, quicken me according to your Word. Quicken me according to your Word. Get in the Word of the Lord. Let your mind be purged and cleansed and purified by the truths of God's Word and break the hold of this world in your life. Oh, Lord, quicken us around here. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you that it doesn't matter what the world is in many, many forms. That John Wesley said, he defined the world as anything that causes you to cool your affection for God. Anything that causes you to cool off spiritually. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that are not sinful things at all, but they have just caught your attention and they have got such a hold on your life and it's clinging to you and you're not able to press in and receive from the Lord. There's no life in you because of these things. Amen. Another verse is Psalm 119:107. Look there with me. You'll see the pattern of the psalmist here. He said, I am afflicted very much. The same prayer. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Amen. Quicken me, Lord, according to thy word. What was the problem in this season of his life? I am afflicted very much. I got to looking into these words and this verse, and it was describing burdens and responsibilities and weights that were upon him, and they were weighing him down, and he was losing that zeal and that desire for the things of God. Burdens and the cares of life. The burdens, you know, burdens are not a bad thing, but I've been in the pulpit and I've been a pastor for a lot of years, and I've seen people, I can see it on the expression on their face. I can see when people are down. I can see when people are under a burden. Amen. If I can see it, you can be sure that the Lord knows what's going on in your life. And other Christians also realize they may not know the details, but they can just see that you're afflicted, you're weighted down, and there's trouble in your life and worry, maybe unbelief or whatever those things are. They're weighing heavily upon your mind. And some are very good at putting on the front, and you may not see it as obviously in the lives of some people. Let me tell you, every one of us, we experience time when we're crushed down with the cares of this life and trouble and responsibilities and burdens. They become so heavy upon you that it causes you to lose your desire. It causes you to get so weighted down with all these things that you lose your focus on the things of God. You know, when you've got big troubles, then they're right before you, and you can't see around them. They're just so big and they're so close and they're so, you know, they're so affecting your life so much that you can't see the Lord, you can't see the Word of God, you can't see the promises of God. You're just weighed down, and all you can think about is this thing that you're preoccupied with, this big problem that you have, this big burden that's weighing upon your shoulders. That's what David was dealing with. He called it an affliction, that he was bearing a big burden, a big load, a big responsibility, and maybe cares of this life. And this could be a wide range of a lot of different things, worries and fears and doubts and unbelief and on the things that it could be that have you burdened down, keeping you from stepping out for God, keeping you for being active in your faith and your confidence in the Lord. As a result, you're failing God. You're failing because you're so weighted down with trouble and problems that you can't see your way out of it. That's the season that David was describing here in this verse. He said, I'm afflicted. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. In each of these verses, that's the prayer that he prays. O Lord, the Lord who is the last Adam, who was made a quickening spirit. Amen. He's the one that can come and visit you when you're weighted down. Amen. We all have seasons like this. We've got a lot on us, a lot of burdens and a lot of things that are weighing us down. The cares of this life and troubles and situations of your life. They may be related to family. They may be related to your children. They may be related to money and finances. That there can be so many things that can weigh you down to the point that you can't see anything except your problem. That's the season that the psalmist is in, and that's why he says, Lord, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to cry out to you. Lord, you are a quickening spirit. Oh, quicken me, Lord, according to your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've had lots of times. There's been many a time when I've come to church and I had more problems than I knew how to think about. More things weighing heavily upon my mind. And only to find that in the presence of God there was help. Amen. Amen. Help in the Lord. And preachers and pastors need help from God. And deacons and song leaders and all of us, moms and dads, every one of us, we find ourselves in times like this when we are weighted down. The psalmist said, this is like an affliction. It's so big on me. I can't see a way out. But he cried out to the Lord, Lord, quicken me according to your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what he wants to do for the congregation, the First Pentecostal Church. Amen. That's what he wants to do. There's some folks that miss church. They're missing lots of church. And one of the reasons that they are is this very thing right here I'm describing. They're so weighted down, they can't see that there is an answer. They can't see. They can't seem to face the fact that God could be the answer. And they're so weighted down with all this that they can't see around it or below it or above it. And it's weighted them down so much that they've just kind of slipped out, stayed at home. It's easier to do that. It's the trick of the enemy to keep us from getting together to where we can cry out to God together. Lord, send your quickening spirit among your people. Do a work in the church. Lord, quicken us right here among your people that we could all experience your presence and your power, Lord. Amen. Instead of all these afflictions and burdens weighing you down, would you cry out to the Lord tonight? Lord, would you make me alive? Would you quicken me according to your word? Would you do a work in me, Lord, by your spirit and cause me, Lord, to come back to life and be revived and renewed in my relationship with you, Lord? I encourage you to do that as we call you to the altar here in just a moment. Encourage everybody to pray that kind of a prayer, whichever category you may find yourself in. Too influenced by the world, or too weighted down with the cares of this life, burdens. Now let's look at the third one, Psalm 119 and 154. Psalm 119 and verse 154. The psalmist says, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Plead my cause, Lord. Deliver me. Deliver me. You see, this is a circumstance that's progressed to the point now that it's like a bondage. It's got such a hold on you that now that you can't even move forward. You can't do anything. You can't go forward. You can't accomplish anything. You're really no good to anyone because you're just paralyzed by fear and you're under this bondage of circumstances that have such a hold on you. It's progressed to the point now in your life that you just need God to deliver you, to set you free from it. You need God to show up and to help you in your despairing situation that you're in. Revival comes when people begin to cry out to God and express their need for help from God. Amen. No trouble's too big for God. No bondage is so big that God can't break you free of that. Amen. He can bring hope and he can bring deliverance. The psalmist here is describing his situation, that he wants to cry out to the Lord. Plead my cause, Lord. Come and defend me. Come and help me. Come, Lord, and quicken me and deliver me from this situation. Deliver me, Lord, that I might receive help from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Came to my mind that people have failures in their life, and their failures have stopped them dead in their tracks. Now, there's not a one of us here in this church that we haven't messed up. And we haven't failed God. Amen. Every one of us have. We have all failed the Lord, and we've had to come running back to the Lord and asking God for mercy and forgiveness. And he's faithful to do that. But Satan, many times, when a person has failed God, he just gets a grip on them because he wants to finish them off. He wants to bring them down. He wants to destroy them. Unbelievable, the things that happen. Not too long ago, just recently, recent weeks, read the report of a pastor. And he had failed the Lord. He had gotten messed up with finances, embezzling money, and things of that sort. And so instead of running to God, instead of seeking out for help, he took his own life. Let me tell you, the enemy of your soul, he wants to convince you that your situation is hopeless. He wants to convince you that there's no way out of the trouble or the bondage or the circumstance that you are in. But God wants you to cry out to him. Amen. And the psalmist said, "Oh, plead my case, Lord. Deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word." In every one of these verses, all three of these verses, he's crying out to God to make him alive. Quick, bring life back into the situation. Breathe life back into this situation in my life. Hallelujah. And he's promised that he'll do that. Amen. He's not going to turn you away. If you'll cry out to the Lord, God will breathe life into your situation you're in tonight. Hallelujah. He'll help you. He'll deliver you. He'll plead your case. He'll be your defender. He'll be the one that will bring hope and forgiveness and turn your life around once again. Hallelujah. Someone has written a book, Failure is Never Final. Not read the book, but I love the title. Failure is never final. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Satan, he jumps on your back and he's beating up on you and convincing you that you're worthless, that there's no purpose for your life, and he's trying to convince you that you failed him and that your case is hopeless. It's not true. Cry out to the Lord. Amen. Cry out to the Lord. He'll plead your case. He'll defend you. And he'll quicken you according to his word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a quickening spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for many times, Lord, that you have come, Lord, and ministered help to us when we were hopeless and we had no life and we had, Lord, no understanding of how the problems could be resolved or needs could be met. But Lord, you come every time and you're faithful every time to quicken us. And Lord, we're in need right here at this local church. We're in need. A lot of our church family weighted down with troubles and problems and sickness and worries and family needs, so many different things, Lord, that people are weighted down with. Lord, help us to cry out to you. Out of the midst of all of our trouble and our sorrow and our need, Lord, that you'll come rushing in, you'll bring life, you'll breathe life into the situations that we're faced with. Oh God, I ask you, Lord, to do a work this very night among your people. Oh God, quicken us according to your word. Lord, not any man-made thing, not anything that I could ever accomplish or anyone could accomplish, but Lord, a work of your spirit, a work of your word. Do it in us tonight, we pray, Lord, and quicken us. Hallelujah. Three examples here that we've called your attention to here. The world getting such a grip on you. Maybe that's your case. Got too attached, got so involved with the things of this world. And tonight you're just spiritually lifeless. Oh, but you need God. You need to cry out to the Lord. You may be someone who's weighted down with affliction, with burdens too big for you to heavy. You've carried them so long. They've weighed you down so long. And you want help from God. Some of you maybe have come to that place that you find that you're bound and you're in such a situation, you see no way out. In each one of these cases, He's promised to quicken according to His word. Hallelujah. To make alive, to breathe life back into your need, back into your circumstance, back into your spiritual life. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord.